WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome to episode number 25 of the Full Court Press Podcast.
Al Jefferson.
My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. On today's episode, look forward to the status of the top teams in the West going into the second half of the season. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCP_UA and on TikTok at FCP_podcast. With that being said, let's get into it. But real quick, before we dive into the news, me and Nick are going to have a quick little conversation about the sensational game that partook last night between the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Clippers. Very big game for the both of us. It was Russell Westbrook's debut in Los Angeles, and of course, I had to watch my Sacramento Kings. One of the greatest games I've ever watched. Let's have a quick conversation. What are your thoughts?
Well, just to start, I do want to shed some light on how good Russell Westbrook played. You know,
I can agree with that.
A lot of people expected him, you know, to not mesh well with anybody in the league. It's kind of just the persona that they have placed on him now for whatever reason. I guess whenever you play with LeBron, it kind of puts always these negative connotations on you. But I feel like as far as the rest of the team, they played really good. There was really good energy. I like how everybody got to their spots, and it gives me a lot of hope for the team's three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. I think that going into the future, that's one thing that they can capitalize on is Russell getting downhill and, you know, passing the ball out for three-point opportunities. I think they're going to be really good at that. You know, Kawhi is a very good catch-and-shoot shooter. Paul George is very good at catch-and-shoot. Norman Powell, Nick Batum, even though he missed that game-winning shot, they have really good shooters, really good. They probably have the best depth in the NBA, in my opinion.
As for Sacramento, they showed their resilience to the fullest. I think they are the most resilient team in the NBA. They're full of heart. Multiple times in that game, they were down 8, 10, 12 points. Not just once, but it happened a good amount of times. The Clippers had a lot of runs going. But in the end, they ended up showing how much fight they have. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, they got that dog in them. Monk finished with 45 points, De'Aaron with 42, and the game winner in double overtime. So, absolutely sensational game. They combined for 87. I can't complain at all from any standpoint. Sabonis fouled out after having 20 and 10. It was in overtime, right? In the first
double
overtime.
He
fouled out in the first overtime, but the double overtime happened.
Westbrook fouled out.
Westbrook
Paul
fouled
didn't
out.
Play at all.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard terrified me the entire game. He played like Michael Jordan. He was not missing.
He kept missing mid-range.
Nobody was missing.
Are you positive the Clippers would have won?
Yes.
If those two guys didn't get fouled out?
I do think so.
I remember you were saying that before the show.
I'm not trying to discredit their win at all, but I do think that we would have won if, because he was going crazy in OT1.
I mean, I feel the same with Sabonis if he had never fouled out.
I mean, yeah.
He had 20 and 10.
I feel like, you know, if Westbrook and Paul George are out there and Sabonis, I feel like it's a different game. I feel like it probably goes to another overtime, and I still do.
Like a third overtime?
Yeah, I just think we would have probably won. But
That was a fantastic game nonetheless.
Yeah, there's no complaining.
Hey, really, at the end of the day, the Clippers lost record-wise, but when you score 175 points, you do that any other night, you're going to win.
Yeah.
So it's like you lost, but still a crazy offensive performance for the Clippers.
And I think that a lot of people are trying to say, where's the defense? But those are the people that did not watch the game.
Exactly.
That was some of the best defense I've seen played in
Sacramento
years.
Double teaming up top, a lot of rotations on both sides, but everybody was just hitting. Like Malik
Contested
Monk was
jumpers.
Hitting everything.
Mm-hmm. Kawhi was hitting fadeaways, insane fadeaways. Mm-hmm. I think that Russell Westbrook was getting a lot of good lanes to the basket. He was finishing contested really nice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he wasn't getting any easy layups at all. He made a couple good jump shots. Paul George got to his spots really early.
You got to remember, these guys are NBA players. So even if you play great defense, they have the skill to make shots over anyone just because you're playing great defense.
I think the game really came down to the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter because the Clippers had like a 10-point lead going in with 2 minutes left. I think they were up 8 with like a minute left, and then like two really big steals from De'Aaron Fox on fast breaks.
And y'all were down the lead.
Some costly turnovers, and then we took it to OT. Double OT, I'm very glad that Kawhi Leonard didn't touch the ball. It was given directly to Norman Powell, who fumbled with it a little bit with 5 seconds left. Gives it to
Nick Batum.
Nick Batum shoots a deep contested three, bricks it, and nobody can get a rebound. Game's over. So big kudos to the Sacramento Kings scoring 176. Big kudos to the LA Clippers scoring 175. In a seven-game series, that could be one of the most entertaining series
like so too.
Ever. Absolutely like high scoring offenses.
Great defense. I think that's one thing that's kind of
really good defense.
That's kind of getting on my nerves a little bit with the media right now, is that they're trying to say it was bad defense. But like I said, those are the people that weren't watching the game.
Exactly. So I think both teams showed out to the fullest. Can't complain at all. And it's going to be fun watching them again next week in Sacramento.
Yep. Jumping into the news, Giannis Antetokounmpo came out last night's game. After only playing 6 minutes, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. So he was working on a quick triple-double in that game, only in 6 minutes of action on the court. With that said, he sadly got injured last night. Nothing major. It doesn't seem like anything too major. He just knocked knees with a Heat player. But with that said, this is hard to see because he had wrist problems coming into the All-Star break and then coming into this game, and he leaves with a knee injury. So we're going to have to see what happens with Giannis. We'll keep you guys updated on our social media, Instagram, and, of course, on the podcast when we come back on Friday. But with that said, let's just say this is a prolonging thing. It wasn't a major injury, but let's just say he starts to compound injuries like someone like Zion. What's this mean for the Bucks?
I don't think.
Obviously, this is everything for the Bucks, but can they still stay afloat? Let's just say he has to be
definitely
out. These are, again, super hypotheticals. But let's just say he's out for a month.
Yes, yeah. They can stay. They beat the Heat.
Yes, they beat the Heat by a good amount last night. We saw what they could do. Jay Crowder had himself a game. Bobby Portis came back.
We're about to get right into that.
Bobby Portis was electric his first game back from injury. Myers Leonard had a pretty good game. So a lot of these new additions for the Bucks played really well. They were drilling threes.
AJ, what's his face?
AJ Green came out. No idea who he was. He played all right. Drew Holiday really carried that offense.
Chris Middleton played good.
Middleton played good. So really, they have so many pieces that, you know, they're going to be hard to beat in the long run.
Speaking of debuts, like a Jay Crowder, let's talk about it. How did Jay Crowder play? You mentioned it a little bit, but let's start off with Nick then. How did Jay Crowder play in his first game in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform and also his first game since the playoffs last year, because he did not play at all with the Suns so far this year? So how did he look
last night? He played really good. It wasn't really showed up on the stat sheet, but I mean, he played his role. He made 2 threes, got to the line a couple times. He finished with 9 points, a steal, and I remember one play he comes down like on a fast break and just hits a contested three. So I think that the role that he's going to be able to play for this team is going to be really nice as far as we get into the playoffs, because I just think that he's one of those players that's going to be able to, you know, play the whole season, make threes, play defense, just be one of the best role players in the NBA.
Also, going into the playoffs, that's only going to be halfway through a season for him because he hasn't played all year, so that's kind of a plus that no one's really talking about. Or I just thought about right now is that he has not played all year. Yes, he's been working out, but nothing's like game minutes. So he's going to be well-rested going into the playoffs, which is really good for that Milwaukee Bucks team. Next debut, Kevin Love with the Miami Heat. Jamie, what are your takes on this one?
So, Kevin Love had his debut last night against Milwaukee. Obviously, Giannis got hurt within the first few minutes. That was his matchup at the power forward. But he comes out, so you kind of expect Love to have himself a decent little game. He goes out, gets eight rebounds, 4 assists, but no points. No scoring in his debut, which is kind of disappointing to see, especially, you know, for a team that's kind of hyped up going into the playoffs with that new addition. So, I get it. It's his first game. There's some changes to be made. But Russell Westbrook went out and had 17 and 14. So if Kevin Love can't go out and score a single point, I'm not sure what to say about that.
Next up, the guys touched on it a little bit. But Nick, let's take it away with Russell Westbrook. Just expand a little bit more on his first game in a Clippers uniform.
Yeah. I really liked how clutch he was. I mean, you can attest to that. He was hitting everything in the fourth quarter. He only had like 8 points before that, and then he goes in the fourth quarter, gets like 5, goes to OT, gets like 2, or gets like 4, I think. Yeah. And he played really good defense. That was some of the best playmaking I've ever seen from him in my life.
He took a very little bad shots this game. He was swinging the rock consistently. He knew where his guys were, which is surprising considering it's his first game. Yeah. He knew where everybody was, so got to give him his kudos. He would have had that game-winning layup if Malik Monk didn't come back and hit that crazy three in the fourth quarter, because he could have called game. But
I think that going forward, if he can keep playmaking like that, there's no team in the NBA that can beat them.
Especially if you're putting up 175 points.
Yeah, I mean, I said this to you last night, that offense ran so fluently last night with him, you know, actually being the point guard. Like, that's one thing I can say about whenever he was on the Lakers, he didn't get to be a point guard. He had to kind of just sit there in the corner of the whole game and just sit there.
There was no flow.
Exactly.
He was very robotic.
And now when he would pass the ball, he would move, get to another spot, try to get to a corner three, which he's always shot like around 42% from corner threes. So he was getting there. He made one. So I think if he adds that back to his arsenal, he made a couple mid-range shots, a couple good layups, got to the free throw line consistently. If he can add that back to his arsenal, this team's going to be really good. Yeah. I don't think a team in the league could beat them whenever he's at his fullest.
I think the Clippers are definitely unbeatable when they score 175. They just can't give up 176 like they did last night. So we'll see how that team chemistry plays.
Jumping into one of the final debuts of last night, Cody Zeller. He has not played all year as well since, you know, getting off the Hornets this past offseason, but he had a pretty good debut, better than Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. 10 points, 4 for 5 from the field, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. This is going to be a good backup center for this Miami Heat team that they had that big 7-1 Omer Yostin Stevens.
Year 7.
Year at 7, number 77, along with Luka or some weird number like that. With that being said, Cody Zeller came in and did his role, and I'm excited to see this. I mean, he has not played all year. Not too much to say. It's Cody Zeller. What do you expect? But he played his role very well last night, better than Kevin Love did, I will say that. But we're ready to jump in. Oh, one more news. Sorry. My bad. The Atlanta Hawks have advanced talks with Quinn Snyder, the former Utah Jazz coach, after the firing of their former head coach. Nick, how do you feel about Quinn Snyder? Because I know you're a big Nate McMillan guy, so how do you think this, does this make them better? No. Is this like an upgrade? After firing Nate McMillan, going to Quinn Snyder, how does this make you feel?
I mean, I guess it can be what it is, but I don't think he makes them any better. I mean, I don't think he's a better offensive – I don't think he's a better all-around coach. I don't think he's going to be able to get these guys going in the locker room. I just don't think that's kind of his thing or his style. He just – he's kind of a boring coach. Like, I just don't – I don't know how this benefits a young team like Atlanta that needs to go out there and shoot threes and carry high energy to score because that's just what they do. So, I don't know. I think that Nate McMillan firing was one of the worst decisions that the Hawks have made since trading Luka.
But I just don't – I think it was more of a locker room issue. I think Quinn Snyder will be able to control that locker room better. He did it in Utah. Obviously, they didn't really have many egos, but – I don't know. He brought that team to Western Conference Finals. He brought them to the Western Conference Semifinals. Everything but the Finals. I think maybe he could take that next step up with a similar built roster in Atlanta where you have that star piece, Donovan Mitchell equals Trae Young, and you have good role players like Rudy Gobert, other guys on that Jazz team at the time, Jordan Clarkson, where you go over to the Hawks. They have DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella, John Collins, Sadiq Bey now, DeAndre Hunter. If anything, they have a more well,
they
have a
deeper
roster.
Better team. I just don't know if he can... I don't know if he can, like, control all that talent, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have to see on that front. Another debut last night that we missed real quick was Patrick Beverley. Back home in Chicago with the Chicago Bulls. He played his dog role, his dog mentality. What's your take on this?
So I brought this up last week when we were talking about each team in the East and talked about Pat Bev. And I said he was going to bring that dog mentality back to the Bulls, a mentality that they've been missing for a lot of years. And it definitely showed last night. They were up 50 at one point on the Brooklyn Nets, a very young squad that can compete with a lot of good teams. They just beat them down. Pat Bev had a solid debut. He had a 8-4-5 in about 20 minutes of play. But like the entire Bulls team really played well. Zach LaVine had 32, Drummond had 13-10, Vucevic had 13-10. So the entire Bulls team played really well, and I think that's in part to Pat Bev's mentality and what he brings to that team.
Now we are ready to get into the main segment with Nick Atkinson over there. Where are we starting off today?
OKC. I mean, now Utah moved into where OKC was, but
at the time we made this, like at the All-Star break is where we're starting. Yeah. So let's start off with number 10.
So I believe the standings right now, the teams that are in, and I do think OKC will make their way into it and Utah will make their way out. I feel like this is what will be set in place. Like not as far as the specific seed, but I think these top 10 teams are
the top 10.
The ones that are going to be in the play-in the playoffs. I think as of right now, it's been really, really good for them to actually get some sort of, you know, competitiveness as they continue to grow. Because regardless, they don't have their own picks over the next couple years. So they can be really good and still have top-tier picks.
They have a lot of other PTs.
Exactly. So Shai and Giddey are turning into one of the best duos in the NBA. Jay Williams is one of the best rookies. As far as defensively especially, I really like what he brings on the defensive side of the ball. That's somebody that they can really look to the future with as being one of their top-tier defenders. I like the other Jay Williams, too, as their kind of their starting center because I don't think Chet will last in the league. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But they may be young, but this team's going to cause trouble for whoever they play in the play-in.
Yeah, for the Thunder, I'm excited to see them finally in a play-in spot right now. I know currently they're not, but coming in after the All-Star break, they weren't. And they will get back to that in a very tight Western Conference. Like I said, this can change any day in the packly tight West. But they have three huge bright spots. I mean, Shea, Giddey, and then also Jalen Williams. I mean, Chet, I can't really call him a bright spot right now because we don't really know what he can do. But Shea, Giddey, and Jalen Williams, they are the core right now for this team, and I'm excited to see what they can do and get back to competitiveness very soon. Because this year, they'll probably be a play-in team, but next year, the sky's the limit, I think, when they're all fully healthy and have another draft pick. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so for OKC, they're sitting at the 10th spot, but I do think they are very susceptible to falling back. There's a couple teams sitting behind them that I could definitely see making a little push towards the end, like the Trailblazers, the Jazz. I don't really see the Lakers doing it, but, I mean, you never know what they could do. LeBron James likes to turn up at the end of the season, so they're another team to keep your eye on. But the Thunder really got to be careful. They lost last night to the Phoenix Suns in a game where SGA didn't play. They held their own, so I think this team has a lot to look forward to with both Jalen Williams. Josh Giddey's a fantastic, fantastic playmaker. He's really come out and been a real piece of that team, a piece that you could build around for that OKC team. So second half of the season, if they can make that play-in push, they're going to be dangerous, and I could definitely see them making a playoff appearance.
Yeah. Moving on to the Warriors at the 9th spot. When Steph comes back, they'll be one of the top teams to make a deep playoff run. Obviously, last night, Klay Thompson had a really good game.
42 points,
12 threes. And, you know, when you add Steph Curry back onto that, when Gary Payton Jr. is back there actually playing, I think that they're going to just be one of the best teams in the NBA, as they always are. They're going to probably be in the play-in by the end of the season, but I think that they're going to play whoever they – they're going to probably end up playing Denver, and that'll be a really good series. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree with Nick. I don't care if Curry is out until the playoffs or they start the 10th seed. They are a threat to anyone on the entire NBA court. They will beat anyone. I don't care if they start the 9th seed, the 10th seed, the 8th seed, the 1 seed, the 2 seed. I do not care. They will most likely beat you, and they're going to make a deep run to the playoffs. Like I said, Curry's out into the playoffs. It don't matter. This team will stay content with themselves, and they're going to keep going.
I mean, it's the Golden State Warriors. What can you say? They've done it legit like every year since Steph Curry's been there. They're completely unstoppable in the playoffs. So even though they're going to be a play-in team, it doesn't matter. The play-in this year is going to be very entertaining because you also have the Pelicans, who are a top team when healthy, but we'll get into that later. But again, this is the Golden State Warriors we're talking about. Championship contenders, no matter who's on that roster. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond
Green.
That's
coming from a Celtics fan.
Jordan Poole, who had a coming out party last year in the playoffs, and he's been continuing to show that progression into this year. So this is going to be a dangerous, dangerous team. As long as they can keep winning games in the rest of the season, they're going to be set for the playoffs, and Denver better watch out.
Moving on to that 8th spot, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves. After this Mike Conley trade, I feel like it's a big W for them. They get a true playmaker with a legit playoff experience who's been able to carry his own team, been able to fit into whatever scheme he's been placed into. So I feel like he's really going to be able to add that veteran presence that the Timberwolves need. So I think that he adds some three-point shooting and really good playmaking. I think looking into their ceiling, I feel like they could be an easy semifinals team.
I can agree with that. Part of me feels they are better now than when they had D'Lo at the point guard position. Honestly, Mike Conley brings more defense, like Nick just said. And also, he brings a team-first mentality instead of D'Lo's, oh, I'm just trying to get ice in my veins, make some threes, you know, make some big shots. Mike Conley brings more of a defensive presence and a team-first mentality. Also, this is truly Anthony Edwards' backcourt now, because obviously Anthony Edwards is that man. He's way better than Mike Conley. At times, you know, D'Lo pops off for 30, 40, and people make conversation. There shouldn't be a conversation, but this is now officially Ant's backcourt. Also, Cat has been out for a very long time. He's going to be out till mid to late March still, and they're staying afloat. I mean, they're the 8th seed right now. They haven't fallen back to the 13th or 14th seed. I'm interested to see what they can do when Cat returns and maybe make a little bit of a run, like you said, semifinals, or maybe even farther.
We'll see.
8th seed Minnesota is a tough team to rank, because they are in the play-in, but they are competing with two teams who are legit championship contenders in the Golden State Warriors and the New Orleans Pelicans when healthy. So trading for Mike Conley, I think, was a really good trade. He's the all-time leader of the Grizzlies, a lot of experience in that, and they get a true playmaker in which they've been missing for a long time. D'Lo was not doing it for him. Shot chucking, He was just not a good fit alongside Anthony Edwards. And I honestly think Conley is making Edwards better. He was deserving of that All-Star. And I think when Karl Anthony Towns comes back, this is going to be a dangerous team to watch. Hopefully him and Rudy Gobert can mesh, and it's not that ISO ball that was the beginning of the year. Just hard to watch. So I think this will be a team to watch if Karl Towns comes back, because right now this is shaping up to be one of the most entertaining play-ins of all time.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to that seventh spot, the last spot of the play-in, we got the Pelicans, who, when healthy, I think this team could move up, but not with how packed this Western Conference is. I don't see any of these top six falling out personally. But,
Definitely.
one of the biggest threats to the Clippers, Mavs, Nuggets, and Kings, you know, the biggest contenders in the also the Suns now, to make a finals run. I think this could be one of the teams to stop them. But they're very deep with the addition of Josh Richardson. It adds a lot of three-point shooting and defensive space to the floor for Zion's play style, and they've continued to add players like that, which has been a big thing for them going into this season. It's made them a lot better, and it's made him a lot better this season, too. So
I'm not too high on the Pelicans right now, and here's why. With the recent news about Zion being out a bit more, he had, you know, setbacks with his injury progression, but it's concerning to see how much this team struggles without him. They're the seventh seed, right? Everyone else is healthy. They just made an addition in Josh Richardson, so it's not his fault, but they still have so much depth without Zion. They still have a great starting five without Zion, and they're still the seventh seed. You look at other teams around the league where they lose their star. The Warriors, I mean, obviously they're not a good example, but they're still playing well and just containing, you know, holding their own and still beating teams. Or you look at a team like the Celtics, when they lose a player, they're still the first seed. Or even like the Nuggets, whatever it is, the Pelicans rely on Zion too much. I feel like they should be at a lot higher seed than where they are right now. You still got CJ, you still got B.I., you still got Herb Jones, you got Valanciunas, good depth around those guys. And they're only the seventh seed. I don't know. I think they're going to have troubles if you have to rely on Zion Williamson to be on the court. Yeah. Because without him, they're really nothing. I think they should be the fourth seed still. They have the talent to still be a fourth seed, especially in this Western Conference where the Clippers, Kings, they all have 20-something losses. It's not like out East where the Celtics only have 17, the Bucks have 17, the Sixers have like 19. Yeah. There's all a bunch of losses these teams have. I think the Pelicans should be way better than they are, even without Zion.
So for New Orleans, again, Zion's he's a big addition to that team, no matter which way you look at it. He is not just their future, he's their present. And he's going to be, you know, the only reason that they succeed. They were, at one point, the one seed, weren't
exactly,
they?
Yeah,
they were the one seed at one point with Zion playing. Now he's out. They've fallen down to the seven, but they have been dealing with quite a few injuries, especially with guys like Brandon Ingram being on and off the court repeatedly. So health is wealth for the New Orleans Pelicans. And if they can stay healthy, they are legit contenders in my eyes. But if Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson continue with their injury struggles and, you know, staying prone to what they've been prone to, they're honestly going to lose in the play-in, and I don't see him beating a team like Golden State.
Yeah, moving on to the teams in the official playoff run, we got the Dallas Mavericks. The Kyrie trade is huge. I just don't like the depth. Like, they didn't. If they can go out and get Will Barton, okay.
That'd be a great
then
signing.
That'd be okay. But if they don't do any sort of things with the buyout market, which is pretty soon, I do not know when the deadline is, but I know it's early March, I think March 8th. Along with the depth, they don't have a good defense. And the shooting is kind of, like, concerning a little bit. You really only have Reggie Bullock, and, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, but you do have two of the top 20 guys in the NBA on your team, so that's going to make some noise. I see this team's floor being the semis, and I think their ceiling is the West Finals. But I don't know. I actually don't think the West Finals now. I think that their ceiling is the semis.
Yeah, with the Mavericks, Kyrie and Luka on paper seems amazing, but they're both very ball-dominant players, and they also both enjoy assisting to teammates. And that came into course in their first game together where they didn't know who wanted to shoot, they didn't know who wanted to pass, and they ended up just not winning that game because at the final minutes, Kyrie was passing to Luka, Luka was passing to Kyrie, but they both like shooting, they both like passing, and I don't know, that creates some problems for them out there. Also, their depth is extremely sad. When you go after their two top talents with Kyrie and Luka, plus good role players like Christian Wood, Hardaway Jr., Markieff Morris, and Reggie Bullock, they have literally no one. Like, their depth is like extremely sad. I say it's one of the worst in the NBA for a team that, loosely, I say this is contending. Loosely, just because you have Kyrie and Luka, it makes you contenders. But with that said, they have the worst depth on the court, except those other four guys I mentioned a second ago. So I don't know. I don't really think they're going to be too dangerous. They could be dangerous if they had more depth, but they just don't.
So, Dallas, I'm actually very high on.
I know that. You are.
That combination of Kyrie and Luka is, honestly, in my eyes, it might be the best in the league as far as offensive duos. Defensively, they do have some work to do. Yes, I'm taking them over the Celtics duo.
What? You're
that's,
crazy.
That's kind of crazy.
Nope.
I don't even think they're better than Kawhi and Paul
George. Two all-star starters.
And more LeBron and AD.
So I'm going to take that Mavs duo, but depth is where they're going to struggle. You know, Josh Green, he's all right. Reggie Bullock, he's all right. They lose Dorian Finney-Smith. They lose a lot. So I think signing a guy like Will Barton would be very helpful, signing a guy like Serge Ibaka would also be very helpful because they do lack defense, and that's exactly what Serge Ibaka brings alongside shooting. So I think they do need to go out and get somebody in the buyout market, or else I could definitely see him being a first-round exit.
Yeah. Moving on to Phoenix, they are in the four spot now, but regardless, like we said, when we made this, they were the five. They won the trade deadline by picking up KD and Warren. They also got Terrence Ross, Darius Baisley. They are deep offensively, but I don't like the team defensively. I think that DeAndre Ayton and Kevin Durant are the only two, you know, defenders on the team. Yeah. Torrey Craig's a good defender, but I mean,
just
nobody else is doing anything defensively. Chris Paul is not a good defender anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to go out there and get two steals a game. Now he's just kind of a standing out there on defense. So, I don't know. I think that's what's going to kill them, though, is their defense. So, KD and Devin Booker can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the rest of the team can. I don't know. In my opinion, I don't know if they'll make a finals run. I don't see it. I think Ibaka would be a good pickup for him, though.
I have three words for the Suns: championship or bust. You went out, you traded your future, a good amount of your future, I'll say, for Kevin Durant. Great move. I would do the same thing if I didn't have Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I would do the same thing if I were the Suns. You did this. You have Kevin Durant, the best offensive scorer this game has ever seen, still a top five player when healthy. Championship or bust, because you still have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, who can dish out assists, he can do his job, he can play his role, TJ Warren, you got actually still a pretty good depth. I remember when this trade went down, we were like, when we did the live show, their depth is gone, but they went out and made other moves. They got Darius Baisley, they picked up some other guys like Terrence Ross. Championship or bust, they have everything to win a championship. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not, but at this point in time, it's championship or bust for the Suns, because you have Kevin Durant. That makes you a championship contender to the fullest. And Devin Booker, who's still a top shooting guard in the NBA. You got to win this. I don't think they will, but they're championship or bust team.
I can't speak on how much Alex is right now. It's championship or bust for Phoenix. You bring in a guy like Kevin Durant for that heavy, heavy price tag. You lose a lot of picks. And if you don't win anything out of it, you're screwed for very many years. I know I just said Kyrie and Luka are the best offensive duo. This one of KD and Devin Booker might just be up there as well. We haven't seen how they played yet. We'll see that Sunday, I believe.
He was supposed to come back last night, but
he was supposed to come back last night, but he didn't. So I'm pretty sure I heard he's playing Sunday. Not sure against who.
Giannis, Bucks.
Giannis and the Bucks. Oh, no, he's supposed to come back Wednesday. Sorry. He's supposed to come back Wednesday. I don't remember who that was against. But seeing that combination of Booker and KD, it's going to be very fun to watch. But defensively, they need help. Serge Ibaka would be a great pickup. I'm not sure why he hasn't been picked up yet.
I think he'll be a Clipper.
You think so?
On ESPN, he's actually on the Pacers roster still.
Yeah.
Really? I don't think he'll be a Clipper just because they have Plumlee and Zubac. But he should be very highly scouted within the market. And the Suns could use that defense. So, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, he's still on the Pacers. Sorry, he says he's still on the Pacers, but he's not.
Honestly, I do still think they are contenders, but in a 7-game series against a team like the Clippers or even the Nuggets or even the Warriors, shoot, maybe even the Kings, I think it'll be a tough matchup for them, and they could definitely lose. I can see them honestly losing in like five, just because defensively, especially against a team like Sacramento.
If we play, if the
Celtics swept them,
if the Suns play the Clippers in the first round. I don't think they're beating them.
Yeah, I honestly think the same with Sacramento, only because Sacramento's averaging like 120 points a game, which is first in the NBA. The Suns are giving up a whole lot, especially now. If they don't make a move, I could see that the Kings beating the Suns in a 7-game series.
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics swept. Obviously, it was the Nets to Kevin Durant, but they swept Kevin Durant. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. I think a team definitely can beat them, but they're just so well-built. But that's what I'm saying. It's championship or bust. I don't think they will because a lot of teams can beat them, but
the West is going to be fun to watch this year.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Moving on to the Clippers. I mean, we've said a lot about them already today, but The Westbrook trade has been a huge addition, especially for playmaking defense. He's a much more skilled scorer than any other guard they had on the team prior. He can easily average 18-9-9 like we saw last night. I mean, he had 17-14, and he did have a couple turnovers, but, I mean, regardless, he's going to be that guy that's going to go out there whenever Paul George and Kawhi are, you know, resting or whatever, and he's going to still go out and put up. I think with this team, how when LeBron and AD were injured, he wouldn't do too well because there wasn't enough spacing and stuff. I think with this team, he'd go out there and still get you 15 assists if Paul George and Kawhi aren't playing. I think easily he can do that. He provides all that downhill, you know, what they wanted out of John Wall, but they can't get out of him because he's just, you know, not how he used to be. That downhill running, pass out to the corner, Norman Powell, Nick Batum, Rocco, Eric Gordon, all that, all those good shooters that they have.
You know what I just thought of? Russell Westbrook replaced John Wall at Washington. Russell Westbrook just replaced John Wall on the Clippers.
Yeah, he did.
That is really funny. I have to own up to a mistake. When I was writing this, So this was for the Wednesday show. So I wrote this up around Monday or Tuesday of last week. I said, I'm going to read this sentence out loud because I want to own up to a mistake. The Russell Westbrook addition helps with having a true point guard and a good defender. That's true. But my following statement says, but this isn't a crazy upgrade over Reggie Jackson. Now, that is, I would say it's partially true, but nowhere near as much as I meant it. Because we were planning on doing this segment as well on the Wednesday show, but then the East took an hour, so we were like, all right, let's put this on Saturday so you guys don't have to sit here for 2 hours. The listener. We would sit here all day, obviously. But I have to own up to that mistake. I'm going to stare Nick in the eyes and say, I'm sorry for that. Russell Westbrook has been my guy since I was a kid, just like Nick. But last week when he went to the Clippers, I was like, I'm starting to hate on him a little bit because I don't think this is a huge upgrade over Reggie Jackson. I will take that back. Last night he had a fantastic game, 17 points, 14 assists, 5 rebounds. He shot 7 for 13 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3. That's okay. That's not his game, but he made that corner 3. I want to apologize for that. I still don't think it's a like Michael Jordan to like a bum upgrade. Like, you know, I think it's like a slight upgrade. But I was going to hate really hard on Wednesday, so I'm glad I've had some time to think and retract that statement a bit. But also, with the Clippers, getting Bones Highland really helps their depth. For some reason, last night he was a DNP. Last night he did not play. But when he comes and plays, whatever's going on, hopefully he comes and plays soon. That point guard combo between Westbrook and Bones off the bench. Bones obviously coming off the bench, yeah, not Russ. Yeah. That's going to be a spark for them. Also, Mason Plumlee helps with having a big presence in the paint when Zubac is out.
He played really well.
Because they didn't really have a big man. Montrezl Harrell's been gone for a few years, so this really helps him out, I would say, when Zubac is off the court. But yes, Nick, I want to apologize for that. Hopefully you can take my apology. I still don't think it's a major upgrade, but it's definitely more than – because I was going to hate so hard on Wednesday. I was texting Nick saying, like, this is nothing. So I want to retract that.
So let's get into the Clippers. They had a fantastic trade deadline, bringing in Russell Westbrook alongside Mason Plumlee and others, and I think they are going to be a contender nonetheless. They went up against a very good Sacramento team last night, put up one heck of a fight, and honestly, they should have won that game if it wasn't for a few costly turnovers in the end and Sacramento capitalizing like they did. But the Clippers are going to be a very, very fun team to watch. There is no doubt in my mind that they are finals contenders. They honestly might be my favorite out West.
The Clippers are your favorite out West?
Yeah, only because we've seen that the Nuggets are fraudulent. Multiple times in the playoffs, they've sold. Same with the Grizzlies. They came in last year. They were, the 2 seed last year, I believe?
Yeah, or 3.
Yeah, and they go in against Golden State, who was low-ranked, talking all the smack on them, get beat up by Golden State and are out. So two teams ahead of them are kind of fraudulent in the playoffs, whereas now we have the Clippers, who Kawhi Leonard is one of the greatest playoff performers of all time. Paul George really rejuvenated his playoff career last year, really carrying the Clippers. And Russell Westbrook, we know what he can do. You don't see him in the playoffs a ton, but I think it's going to be fun to watch him alongside Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So
it's disrespectful.
He's only missed playoffs 3 times in his whole
career. I know, but I feel like I haven't seen him put up numbers like a Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs is what I'm trying to say. So.
Russell Westbrook?
Westbrook's always been amazing in the playoffs.
I know, I'm saying Kawhi Leonard numbers.
Oh, okay, yeah. Kawhi's one of the best playoff players in the history of basketball.
I know, I'm just saying not Kawhi Leonard numbers.
Yeah,
so
it's just
I think all three of them together alongside other role players like Bones Highland, Plumlee, Zubac, Norman Powell. It's going to be a very fun team to watch.
Eric Gordon, too.
Eric Gordon, and I think a 7-game series between them and Sacramento would be incredible to watch, but honestly, if they can beat Sacramento, they're my favorites out West.
Yeah, I think so too. Moving on to the Kings now. from what I saw from them last night, I think it's very disrespectful to say that they're anything except for a contender. I was seeing people discredit the Clippers because they were saying, the Kings. Yeah, both. They were just discrediting this game as a whole, saying the Kings aren't that good of a team. This is a fluke. They're gonna fall to the play-in.
That's crazy.
And just stuff like that. Like, I'm saying there was no defense played because the shot creation last night was the best I've ever seen. I've been watching basketball since like 2011, 2010. So, you know, that was some of the best shot creation I've ever seen from both teams. You know, I really liked what Malik Monk did, but I don't think that's a consistent thing. I think what De'Aaron Fox did, though, that's always consistent. You can always count on him to put up, you know, 30 and 6. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not the best. His playmaking doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but he's always very good at getting guys to their spots and pushing the tempo, a lot like Russell Westbrook in that way, pushing tempo, bringing the ball down low, kicking out to Kevin Herter, whoever else he's got to kick the ball out to. Sabonis has proved to be a top five center in the NBA. I said that last night. I think he has. I think he's the fifth best center in basketball right now.
Five? So. Who do you have?
Joe.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Jokic, yeah.
Bam. I think Bam's.
That's tough. Okay.
He probably might be four at this point.
Yeah, I think it'll be four.
Yeah, if not him, I mean, Jaren Jackson's kind of a power forward, but
Karl Towns, but he can't.
He's
a
power forward. He's power forward.
Carl Towns, yeah, Rudy.
Now if he was a power forward, if he was a center, I think I'd still put Cat over.
Yeah,
but
I have Sabonis at four.
Yeah.
Jumping into the Kings, it's still crazy, and I'm happy for you guys, but it's still crazy to see them as the third seed in the Western Conference, or as a top seed in the West, I shall say. I'm gonna kind of throw this one to Jamie a little bit because I don't want to take away any of his King's Thunder, but I just do want to say, and he might touch on this, I'm not exactly sure, but I wish they did something at the deadline to add to this competing roster. You might expand on that, I'm assuming, but so I'm going to throw this one to Jamie. Just like I said, I wish they just did something to add to this championship contending roster, and they did nothing. All these other contending teams did stuff, but not the Kings.
So yeah, I was really hoping for an OG Anunoby trade, which, looking at it in retrospect, was probably not going to happen because the Raptors think they're contenders for some reasons. But not trading for OG kind of hurt, only because we're not great defensively, and especially with guys like KD and Kawhi and Paul George out in the West, we kind of needed a guy like that. So it didn't happen, but I mean, I'm okay with it. I saw how we played last night.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes played great defense on
Harrison
Kawhi.
Harrison Barnes played really good last night. Even though, like, when Harrison Barnes was on Kawhi, he played him pretty solid, especially in overtime, because mostly on Kawhi Leonard, like, it was mostly like Monk or Herter or Fox guarding Kawhi Leonard. You can't have that happen. But when Barnes guarded him, played him well, Kawhi Leonard didn't do a ton in overtime, and the Kings ended up pulling out with a win. But I think for the rest of the year, this is a championship contending team. I think they'll hold the third seed for a while. They are 2.5 games ahead of the the fourth seed right now. So I think they're going to be good. But really quick, I want to touch on De'Aaron Fox's game last night because I think it was one of the greatest single player performances that I've ever watched personally. Fox goes out, has 42 points, five rebounds, 12 assists, which I didn't even realize he had 12 assists, five steals. So De'Aaron Fox, Captain Clutch, absolutely deserving of that All-Star. He's completely built to lead a team into the playoffs, and I think the Sacramento Kings are going to be a very, very fun team to watch. He shot 17 for 27, too, so he shot well over 50%. So Fox, fantastic player, great depth Sacramento has, and I think they can compete for a championship. They can compete with the best of them.
You said the Clippers, though, are your pick.
They're the best. I think the Clippers are the best, but I'm not going to discredit the Kings in any sort of capacity because I do think they can hold their own.
Yeah, and just getting – before I get into the next top two teams, I do want to say something. I should have said it whenever we were on the Clippers, but you could kind of attest to it that I just thought that, you know, the Clippers were going to lose just because I'm so used to that with the Lakers team. And I felt the same way.
I'm a Kings fan, so.
It's such a relief being able to watch a good basketball team.
I feel the same way. Kings have been so bad for so long.
Yeah, because the Lakers, I don't know why they were so bad. I don't get it. But I mean, now that you put them around two shooters, it was some of the best basketball I've seen him play since Washington. So.
Yeah, I could say the same for the Kings. We've been so bad for so long, and now just out of nowhere, we're the best offense in the league. So
I think the Clippers are a great offense.
Hopefully, this can continue, and you know, Western Conference playoffs. I said it before. I'll say it again. This is going to be very entertaining.
Yeah. Moving on to the top two teams in the NBA, in my opinion, this Grizzlies team, they could fall out of this you know, top five thing. I think that'd be the one to fall out, personally. I think they could fall to six, honestly. But I don't think they will. I think their defense is too nice for them to move past the Mavericks, or below the Mavericks. But, yeah, for them, I just feel like it's staying healthy. You know, either one of the – somebody in the starting five is always injured, you know, and the lucky is not Ja. That's all. That's what I will say. And whenever he's on, he's one of the top 10 players in basketball. I think he has that potential for sure. I think he's probably the third best point guard in the NBA. But, you know, I think just going forward, they need to focus more on getting some other players involved so Ja and Desmond Bane and Jaren don't have to sit there and just put up, you know, 150 points, just them three. So I think that would be the biggest thing for them. I don't know if I see them getting past the second round, especially if they get matched up with the Warriors again. I don't think they're beating the Warriors. You know, up to down or whatever, I think the Warriors are still better than them. I think a lot of teams are still better than them because they just outweigh you with talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think that the talk is all that. So.
Yeah, they acquired Luke Kennard at the deadline. That's really all they did, which, I mean, that provides them with some more three-point shooting to surround Ja when he's driving to the paint kickout, which I like. But also, on the other hand, Luke Kennard's kind of had a down season overall shooting-wise when you look at his shooting split. So I don't know how that's really going to affect them positively when there's someone who's supposed to be, like, a good shooter in the corner is not shooting as well. But anyways, that's a good move if he can get back into rhythm, excuse me. They already have a fantastic makeup of a team. I understand what Nick's saying, and I agree with him. They're kind of, like, all talk. But they are the second seed, so their talk is talk. And it's not just talk. They're the damn second seed, you know? So you got to give them some respect there. But, like, I do also agree that if there's any team in this top four or five to fall down, it'll probably be the Grizzlies. I mean, the Suns are five, but they're a loose five, and they have Kevin Durant now. But I would say the Grizzlies because, I mean, every team kind of got better, and they just got Luke Kennard. With that said, though, I think they just need to keep compounding chemistry and wins. When healthy, and the sky's the limit. If they can stay healthy and keep compounding chemistry and wins, I think they could be the best team in the NBA. You have Ja Morant. It's Ja Morant. You have possibly the defensive player of the year in Triple J.
Yeah.
You have great scores around them with Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, who can do his thing down there in the paint and just in the corner. I don't know. I think the sky's the limit. My only concern is their depth's a little loose when you get past that eighth, ninth man. So we're going to have to see on that front. But overall, I think they have a really good makeup for a team. They just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. The Grizzlies are going to be the team that has the biggest chance to fall out of this top two, maybe even down to five, just because the Kings look so good offensively. The Clippers are reloaded. The Suns are reloaded. The Mavericks are reloaded. So they didn't really do much at the deadline other than bringing in Luke Kennard. So it's really going to come down to see if all that talk doesn't get backed up, because we've seen it happen against Golden State. They talked all the smack in the world. They couldn't back it up. So it's really going to come down to that, if that attitude can stay consistent and if Dylan Brooks can actually learn how to play basketball, because, you know, that would be cool for the Grizzlies. He's a good defender. Offensively, he's a shot chucker. And if Ja Morant, we got to see how he does. He's been so good offensively this last year. But come crunch time, we don't really know how he's going to do. So it's really going to come down to him. It's his team. He has to perform. He has Jaren back now. He has all the depth. This is the best team he's ever been surrounded by. So the Grizzlies, again, I think with them, it's championship or bust. So, you know, we'll see how they do. But I think out of anybody, they do have the biggest chance of falling.
It was crazy seeing Joel Embiid block Ja Morant.
That was crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
That was a must-win game for him, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, moving on to the best team in the Western Conference, which I think we've all kind of said it. This team should not be here, but I mean, they have great talent, but I just don't think that they're the best team in the West. I don't even think they're top three, in my opinion.
I'm disrespecting the Nuggets like that.
Yes, I am. And the fraudulent Nikola Jokic.
Very fraudulent MVP.
Yes. Three times that he should not have had it. But
you think he'll get it?
Yes, I do think he's going to get
it. That's very fraudulent. I would take Jason Tatum over him. I would take Luka over him.
I'd take Joel Embiid over him.
I would take Joel Embiid over him.
I think it's ridiculous.
I think if it comes down to the Celtics and the Nuggets are both the first seed, they might give it to Tatum.
I
don't know if they're going to want to give it to him three times.
Just because they see Jokic averaging a triple-double as a center, even though they're very flat stats, they're kind of empty. I low-key do think Jason Tatum is more deserving of it over Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
But they're going to give it to Jokic anyway. We know what the NBA likes to do.
It is most valuable player, and I'll be honest. If the Celtics didn't have Jason Tatum and they just had Brown and everyone else on the team, they'd probably still be a top five seed in the East. Now, if the Nuggets didn't have Jokic and they had everyone else, they'd probably be the 11th seed.
No, I don't think
so. Not the 11th seed. You got guys like Jamal Murray
would be an all-star if he won there.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? They'd probably be a play-in team.
I don't know. It could be top six.
Yeah, because Michael Porter Jr. has been turning it up lately. He's been a straight up scorer. They have a lot of good depth too.
I don't know. Jokic is the second best center in the league, top five player in the NBA. When you lose that,
I mean, you can say that for anybody.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, Tatum's top five as well, but they just have, I don't know, Jaylen Brown would turn into a top five player.
No one
on that Denver Nuggets roster is turning into a top five
player. Yeah, but I do think Jamal Murray could be an all-star if he wasn't there. I think that he could, especially 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. They're just kind of a weird team. They've always sold in the playoffs, you know, as a partial, you know, Clippers fan right now, a little bit more than the Sixers right now, especially. You know, I hope that they don't do it. I hope they don't, they're not, like, you know, good.
So. Yeah, on the Nuggets standpoint, they had two pretty good pickups at the deadline, Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant. And, I mean, this will help further their depth, you know, as a team that's trying to make a deep run into the playoffs, trying to win a championship. With that said, I need to see them win something. You know, they haven't really – they've made it to the Western Conference Finals in the Jokic era, but they need to boost that past that. They have a future, possibly three-time MVP, at least right now, two-time back-to-back MVP. You've got to get to the finals. Even if you don't win it, you got to get there. This is another – like the Suns, I would say the Suns and the Nuggets are the both championship or bust teams, because the other teams, even like the Kings and Grizzlies, they're good, but no one really thinks of them as like a championship contender. Right now in the West, it's Suns – and Nuggets, championship or bust. Even if the Clippers don't make it, it's understandable.
I think the Mavericks could be up there too.
No,
only because
Kyrie's.
I'm just saying, only because Kyrie's on that 1 year deal.
I feel like
if they don't contend, he's kind of gone.
That's a fair argument.
I think he's going regardless.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the Nuggets, it's really championship or bust. Yes, all their guys are under contract, so it's not like someone's going to leave, but it's like you have Jokic. With all these great guys around him, you're the one seed in the West. If you don't make it to the finals, I think it's a loss for them.
I completely agree with that.
Oh, sorry. Oh. And you get guys like Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant to further your depth. They've made all these moves to be championship contenders. So if they don't get there, even if they don't win, if they don't get there, it's a bust. Sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Denver has been in the same situation for so long. They're so good in the regular season. Jokic has been MVP the last 2 years. They've been fantastic every year, but they can't get the big job done. I don't know what it is. They just don't know how to, you know, keep it together. In the bubble, we saw what Jamal Murray was doing. That was the most help Jokic ever had. Jamal Murray was out putting up 45 a game. Still lose. Last year, they lose. Year before, they lose. It's a consistent thing with Denver. They have to win the championship or they're done. Jokic has been getting these fraudulent MVPs. Joel Embiid was much more deserving of it last year. I think Giannis should have been it the year before. So, I mean... The Denver Nuggets are low-key fraudulent. I could definitely see them making a little fall.
Now they will.
I don't know. Not in the standings, honestly. But if a team like Golden State goes up against them in the first round, I think they could have a lot of trouble handling like Steph Curry. Klay Thompson, if he keeps shooting these lights-out games he's been having. Jordan Poole, we saw what he could do in the playoffs. Kevon Looney's a whole different beast in the playoffs. Draymond Green, that's a lot of smack-talking. So... The Denver Nuggets have a lot on their plate going into the playoffs.
I hope that's who they face.
And
let's line it up that
if
way.
They lose, if they lose, I think they are one of the biggest failures in NBA history.
Well, no, because they're going to be together for years to come.
I don't know. I mean, Jokic just feel like the championship window is closing. Because Jokic isn't going to be an MVP for 5 years in a row. Like, they have to have him playing that way or else they are going to suck. And he's slow.
And I don't think he produces wins.
He's younger and he's slow. And as he gets older, he's going to get slower and slower and slower. And I just don't think that's going to help Denver whatsoever.
Yeah, I can agree with that one.
So, with all of that being said, thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 and the Full Court Press Podcast. We will be back Friday with our current starting power forward tier list. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. This is Jamie, Alex, and Nick signing out.
Peace.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.